How firm a foundation.
What's that number?
268. Tell the story.
Amen.
May God bless us with more willing hearers.
Amen.
With ears to hear this coming year. All four verses.
I love to tell a story.
Can we sing that third verse again? Because that's kind of the one that you're passing out the tracks and
sure.
helping other people.
Right? Yeah, let's sing verse 3 one more time.
I love you, shepherd's story.
Thing you can't do in heaven, you better do it now while you can. I'm going to be any souls to save up there. All right. Excuse me. 174, the old book and the old faith.
Bronwyn, are you ready? I think she's ready.
Start us off.
Restore and just stay.
singing. All right, onliners, give us a sec. We got a couple of things to do here while you're getting your prayer request in into bbfohio@protonmail.com. And Janie passes out the prayer cards here in the house. And I ask, Charlie, could you give, I think there's enough for everybody to have one. If not, a couple can share on a couple occasions. But make sure everybody gets one of those that we can. I think I got enough for everybody. And chart. I'd like Brother Johnny to come up and get his belated Christmas present.
Yay!
Wow, that's black.
And then you can try that on back there, and if it fits, then we'll have you come up and show it off. Yeah. Thank you.
Whoa, sorry guys. I want to get that close to Greg.
All right, we're going to get into our current events update. And I didn't have my Bible open, so I'm going to take a second to do that.
There we go.
We completed our James study.
Wow, right on time.
And so this week we're going to have a little end of the year, beginning of the year, however you want to look at it, study. Right after our current events update. Eventually, oh, wait a minute. I better put this on. I'll have you come out in a minute. Stay back there for now. But take a, he's got a long way to go before he catches up with me. Current events update. Eventually, facts begin to matter, amen?
Amen, hopefully.
And
we can hope.
I mean, we're in a world that doesn't like the truth, so get used to that. But sometimes the truth catches up with the world system and the culture, and they have to deal with it. How many of you see where LeBron James had a moment of truth? It's rare, but he had one. And he posted this on Twitter, I think, and it shows, it's a meme that's used for various things, and on his, he put, there's three Spider-Mans, they're all looking at each other, trying to figure out which one's the real Spider-Man. Well, and then he labels one of them COVID, another one cold, and another one flu.
Yes.
Now, what he's saying is absolute truth. It's absolutely true that they don't have any idea a lot of times which one you have, and they'll label you the one that makes them the most money.
Wow. He's only one up in points.
Yeah, how many of you are aware of the fact that back in July, the CDC knew that these PCR tests don't work? And so as of January the 1st, I believe it is, they're not going to use them anymore.
What test?
The COVID tests have been used. And everybody's being told you have to be tested. Why? They don't even work. But they don't care about the facts. It's all about propaganda and this.
Money. So you mean the thing that they go up your nose?
Yeah. We've been telling you that for quite a while. So I've been trying to Let everybody here know that if your employer tells you that you can't work unless you're vaccinated or take the test, tell your employer in as nice a way you can that he's stupid. He's telling you to get a vaccination that doesn't work. It doesn't keep you from getting the COVID virus. It doesn't keep you from dying of it. And it doesn't keep you from spreading. And the tests don't work. But we're living in an age of stupidity. Yeah. Yeah, I believe that. And there have been some coming out, and we'll have more on that in the coming weeks. But then, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who is not a lover of truth, that's why he changed his name and became a Muslim, and he responded with an essay criticizing the COVID Spider-Man meme post. Now think of how juvenile. I mean, these guys take themselves seriously. So he criticizes LeBron for posting a factual COVID meme because it might promote vaccine hesitancy. They don't care whether it's true. They just care about the fact it might cause some people to hesitate to get on the vaccine train. And it's not the vaccine train you got to get on. You got to get on the permanent forever booster train. Every 3 months or so, you're going to be having to get the booster. Well, then they asked LeBron if he had a response to Kareem, and he said, no, I don't have a response to Kareem at all. And then he responds. And if you saw the post and you read the tag, you're literally honestly asking, help me out. Help me kind of figure it all out. We're all trying to figure this pandemic out. We're all trying to figure out COVID and the new strains and the flu. I think people forgot about the flu. People literally forgot about the flu during these times. Yep. Everything he's saying is true.
Yep, it is true.
Like, that's still going around. This is flu season, so people have forgotten about the flu. People have forgotten about common colds. That happened. Especially with a lot of our kids that are in school. My daughter's in first grade, so a lot of these kids are getting common colds and getting the flu. But no, I don't have any response to Kareem. So it's happening in sports and among celebrities all over where they can't help themselves. They see this stuff, and then they post it on their Twitter or whatever feed, and then they get lambasted for it. And how many of you saw Aaron Rodgers back, when was it, a couple of months ago, back, I think late October, when he got in trouble because they found out he didn't get the vaccine, and he had told people he'd been immunized, so they accused him of lying. And he was on a talk show, and this talk show guy basically said, you know, that you shouldn't be debating the science. And Aaron Rodgers says, if science can't be debated or questioned, then that's called propaganda.
Yes, right.
And so now he got on the hot seat with a lot of people for that. Now, the following is the sort of thing that makes people say, wait a minute. Remember I showed you all those G7 people with their masks on when the cameras aren't on? When the camera lights all went off, they ripped their masks off?
Yeah.
That's happening all the time. And this is one, I want you to see this. Aaron Rodgers set a record. He beat the Browns and set a record for, he beat Brett Favre's record. And he's being interviewed.
I'm in there with you and Miles Garrett.
It's a lady named Erin Andrews doing the interview. And look at the space between them. It's a social distance interview.
That's an interview?
Yeah. Now watch, it goes on. There's a few minutes later. Look how far apart they are. Everybody's standing back like Aaron Rodgers, you know, is some kind of a disgusting disease they can't go around. Isn't that something? And watch, it keeps going. Look.
Christmas night in Lambeau.
They keep going.
Your blessings, not the things you don't have. Right. It's not pretty, but
now this is win. Watch as this interview closes, and they think the cameras are off. Look, now he's taking it off. He thinks they all. He's not at fault. But look, watch this.
He's happy with his situation. He's happy with the Green Bay. He's happy with the.
When the cameras are off, she hugs him.
And go to something that's an uncertainty.
What? It's total hogwash. It's a big stinking show.
You don't know who the players are. You don't know who the coaches are.
I want to go to part two of this.
He's a happy man.
Now listen to Terry Bradshaw at the last 20 seconds of this interview.
I say he stays in Green Bay. I said that last week.
I like seeing him laugh.
Yeah.
I've never seen this. I've never seen this.
Yeah.
Love. He's a different guy this year, and I don't know if the offseason created this new Aaron Rodgers we're seeing, or maybe this is the Aaron Rodgers we have never seen. I'm not real sure about that, but he does look happy. He does look...
Bradshaw's full of it. This is Terry Bradshaw just about 6 weeks ago talking about Aaron Rodgers.
I'd give Aaron Rodgers some advice. It would have been nice if he'd just come to the Naval Academy and learned how to be honest.
Yeah.
Learn not to lie, because that's what you did, Aaron. You lied to everyone.
Did you hear that? Because Aaron said he was immunized. He told Aaron Rodgers they should have came to the Naval Academy where he could learn to be honest. Oh, but what's this? Let me tell you, the date on that story is August 20th, 2021, military.com. At least 100 Naval Academy students cheated on a physics test. 18 have been expelled. So Terry the hypocrite is telling Aaron Rodgers that he should have gone to the Naval Academy where he could learn to tell the truth. The Naval Academy where 100 Academy students were caught cheating. That just a few weeks before Terry's running his mouth. So Terry Bradshaw's an idiot. Now listen to the rest of this. Listen to the rest of this from Terry.
Understand him, and
you know what? I never noticed until right there how beady his little eyes are. Listen to this.
Eyes.
Yeah.
What you were doing was taking stuff that would keep you from getting COVID-19. You got COVID-19. Ivermectin is a cattle dewormer. Sorry, folks. That's what it is.
You're an idiot, Terry. Ivermectin is a cattle dewormer. I'm sorry, folks. That's what it is. That's Terry Bradshaw. Now, they say trust the science. This is from the National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health. It's a lot more scientific than Terry Bradshaw. Ivermectin, wonder drug from Japan, the human use perspective. And we don't have time, obviously, to read the whole thing. But listen how the abstract begins. Discovered in the late 1970s, the pioneering drug ivermectin, a dehydroderivative of ivermectin, jumped down, says, has had an immeasurably beneficial impact in improving the lives and welfare of billions, with a B, of people throughout the world. Aaron Rodgers being criticized by lame brain know-nothing Terry Bradshaw about ivermectin. And it just makes me sick when these guys, he's a bootlicker. Terry Bradshaw is making millions by kissing butt. And he was on TV to kiss his NFL lords' butts when he was going after Aaron Rodgers. You make no mistake about it. Such a coward. He ain't got the courage to stand up and stick up for Aaron Rodgers. This is the introduction. There are few drugs that can seriously lay claim to the title of wonder drug. Penicillin and aspirin being two that have perhaps had greatest beneficial impact on the health and well-being of mankind. Listen to this. This is from the National Institutes of Health. But ivermectin can also be considered alongside those worthy contenders based on its versatility, safety, and the beneficial impact that it has had and continues to have worldwide, especially on hundreds of millions of the world's poorest people. You know why Terry lied? Because he's a servant to the advertisers on his program, which is Pfizer. Pfizer owns Terry. Terry, these guys know who's paying their bills. And Terry Bradshaw, owned by Pfizer, attacked Aaron Rodgers' character. Rodgers should sue him for libel.
Amen.
And so should the owners of ivermectin. They should sue all these guys that are... See, that's why they don't want people to use ivermectin. They can't make money off of that. It's too cheap.
The patents run out. They don't own it. So what do? They come out with something now that's almost the same thing Pfizer has. And they're touting that like it's some great thing when it's almost the same thing as ivermectin. What's the only difference? It costs you and you and you and you and you way more. It's just sickening, folks. This is from the National Library of Medicine, National Center for Biotechnology Information. A first day course of ivermectin for the treatment of COVID-19 may reduce the duration of illness.
5 day course.
That's what I said, 5 day course.
You said first.
A what?
You said first day.
Oh. A 5 day course of ivermectin for the treatment of COVID-19 may reduce the duration of illness. See, because they're scientists, they don't speak in absolute terms like the people who are coming out against it, who speak in absolute terms. Then, this is another, you can look these up yourself. This again is the National Institutes of Health about ivermectin for prevention and treatment of COVID-19 infection. And, let's see, which one is it? Come down to, in the introduction. To date, very few treatments have been demonstrated to reduce the burden of morbidity and mortality from COVID-19. Although corticosteroids have been proven to reduce mortality and severe disease, there's been little convincing evidence of interventions that may prevent disease. Ivermectin is a well-known medicine that is approved as an anti-parasitic WHO FDA. And he goes on to talk about how it is used for those purposes, not just in animals, but in people. Yeah, Charlie?
So I was trying to find the source, but so there have been, I just confirmed it, ivermectin has been used in humans for 35 years, and over 4 billion doses have been administered. And there have been, this is one of the least, like, of all drugs that are in common usage, ivermectin has one of the lowest incidence of negative reactions.
Yeah, it's one of the safest and affordable.
Right.
It's rare that you can put those two words together when it comes to a drug.
Right.
No, it's because I deal with technology and its many issues all the time. Who had their hand up here, Brian?
I just wanted to let everybody know, for somebody to mention this. This is a philosophy. Okay, ivermectin is supposedly a horse hormone, right? Well, just remember that animals also get the same antibiotics we do.
Yeah.
So we're going to go along and have this argument that if I don't agree with what you're taking for your illness, then I'm going to,
accuse you of taking animal medicine.
Exactly. I mean, just throw that back.
It's just amazing, Jay.
Case in point, at one point I had to take prednisone, and at that time I noticed, I said, oh, this is the same thing my cat took just a few years ago when he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I shouldn't take prednisone anymore.
I've had to take cat medicine for years now. Like a Nigello and Jello Mogul. Let me get down to the end. I'll take a couple more comments. But this is a main problem I have with people like Bradshaw. He didn't do any research on this. And that's why I tell Christians that I know, we shouldn't be acting like the world and spouting things when we don't do any research on it. It's one thing to say, I heard this, do you know if it's true, and ask questions. It's another thing to run around telling everybody something's true when you haven't done any research on it. And on social media, Christians repost things without looking into it. You know, it's just not a wise thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. That's why for a while, we would talk about COVID and everything, but we wouldn't declare anything because we were learning. And there were a lot of guys out there who were already saying things that have all turned out to not be true. And then they just keep, people keep listening to them, which is in itself, it's not wise. If somebody keeps telling you something and you keep seeing that they're wrong and they don't know what they're talking about, it's time to change the channel or, delete them from your social feed or whatever. And it isn't about football or the NFL. It's about a culture that loves lies. That's what we're dealing with. And about punishing people based on lies and propaganda. That's the problem. And so keep your eyes open. And just like Acts 17:11 says, you should be testing everything you hear from anyone teaching you the Bible. You should be doing that with everything you hear across the board. Always ask, find out if there's any real hard evidence behind what's being said before you believe it. Amen. Jill?
This is a quick question. My boss ended up with congestive heart failure over the weekend. She said they told her it was because she wasn't taking her water pills. Do you suppose can that COVID shot cause that?
I haven't heard any connection to congestive heart failure, but I've heard plenty of its effects on the heart in general, like inflammation of the heart or the sac around the heart and all that. So that's something, again, she should be researching that, finding out. No, not you. She should be doing the research on her own. And you know, folks, if you're talking to people and they're that stupid that they won't do any research on it, just tell them. You know, say, well, you choose to be blind and ignorant. It's your business. I know if you're talking to your boss, you might be a little, you know, you might be a little nicer about it. But, you know, when I don't have to be nice about it, I'm not nice about it. I tell them, you choosing to be blind and stupid, then that's your issue.
Well, the good news is she is excited.
Yeah. And one of the things we'll pray for is to start thinking.
Yeah. But I was excited that she was willing to have us pray.
But most people are willing to have other people pray for them.
Well, not really, but this is Sue. And she is.
I've had some of the most wicked people I know when it comes down to it, they'll call you up and ask for prayer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the Bible study tonight. Ain't we had fun?
Yeah, already.
Going to have my wife sing a song to kind of set the stage for the Bible study after Brother Doug opens the prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for this time that we're studying. Just thank you for a place that we can come to that a lot of people in the world can't do this. And we take things for granted. And we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor, that has a way of discerning things like the COVID stuff and different things that kind of tells us what we need to do, what we need to stay away from. Same thing with the Word of God, that some people are out there and they are just the hirelings that aren't telling you anything. Our pastor is a shepherd and tends the flock, and I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, we'll just thank you and praise you for all. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Doug.
The only way to live and the only place to
Jesus Christ. Condemned for the sinners, good, how he hung and bled and died. He became sin, suffered the wrath of God for his children. Bring the book, God's word to men. Tell of Jesus' love, of how his nail-scarred hands, how he rose up from the grave. In three nights and days, and it's my grace to save this day.
All right.
That's the theme of our study tonight. The old book for a new year.
Amen.
Proverbs 22:28. I'm going to turn there. What happened to the shirt, Johnny? It didn't work out.
Yeah, it looks like it lifted you less. Like on Sunday, say that one time you ordered a bunch of items and some of them fit and some didn't.
Well, that happened to us on Christmas Eve.
That looks good.
Yeah. You know, maybe it'll. It seems a little small.
Yeah.
Even though it says on it extra large.
So. Yeah, that's what I went by. It must be extra large for the Asian world. It's not a slam, I'm just saying. They're built much smaller and.
Yeah. Well, at least now you look like you got a gut like
that. Yeah, Mark's glad to have you.
As if that's
Mark's good.
Yeah. Johnny's like, you can keep that gut. But like I said, you've got a long way to go before you catch up with us, Johnny.
Hopefully I won't.
Proverbs 22:28. As you turn there, with a new year, we make a new commitment to the old book. Amen?
Amen.
We, once in a while, we do a study on the Bible itself, because there's a passage over here that I don't think is in our study per se, but I'm going to turn there. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we're told something that I've repeated a number of times through the years when Paul said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which he heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And I urge you to meditate on that verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, because it says that if you do not accept the Bible as the Word of God, you hear something taught from the Word of God and you don't accept it as the Word of God, you will not and cannot be saved. You can't be saved, because that's the only way to be saved, is to believe the Word of God. And so when you're talking to somebody and they say that book's just a man-made book and it's not infallible and so forth, then that's what you need to deal with and pray for regarding that person. Unless you think they're lying to you. just this year in our Wednesday night Bible studies, we believe you should read and understand the Word of God verse by verse through books the way God wrote it. We started out the year with 6 studies, completing our study of the book of Joel. Then for the next most of the rest of the year, 38 weeks, we studied through the Epistle of James. And then we had studies on the resurrection. We did a Thanksgiving, and then last week our Christmas study, and this week this study on the new commitment to the old book. So we try to practice what we preach, amen? There's a lot of churches where the preacher will be preaching, and he'll be doing this a lot.
Amen.
Waving around. "I believe this book from cover to cover, including the cover." But the guy never puts it down, opens up, and actually teaches it.
That was the Christmas Eve service I went to on Friday.
Oh. I hope none of them are watching. Johnny?
Can you remember it's just like that, the Full Speed song?
Yeah.
They had the line of, you know, clap along if this is my Bible and I am what it says I am. Then clap along as I put this Bible down and never pick it up again.
Never pick it up again. That's right. You know, this is how a lot of preachers preach. And this is still going on today, is they will read, like this verse, we're going to read one verse, Proverbs 22:28. They will tell you to close your Bible. They'll say, now you can close your Bible because I have some things to say. And they'll go on for 40 minutes to an hour, and it's as though they think they are speaking the Word of God with every breath. They really do have that attitude. And it's a shame that a lot of people sit under that kind of nonsense and never really grow. And so we try to practice what we preach here. Look at verse 28 in Proverbs 22. And if you're there, read it with me. Root of the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Read that again. I wasn't ready. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Amen?
Amen.
Now, just for context, you understand this is a word picture. How many of you have looked on properties and seen like a stone? It looks like just a big rock or something at the corner of a property. That's a landmark. Today, most people just have their landmark is something that's in the ground, and you have to use a metal detector to find it. But it used to be they actually set up those landmarks, and then some guy would come over and move it over a couple inches a year. You know, and keep, or they'd be bolder and move it more than that. And the landmark sets up the parameters of the property that you own. And so directly, that is applicable. You shouldn't be doing that. But just like when the Bible also says that God hates a false balance, that means that you shouldn't weigh things and fix the scales so that if you're paying by the ounce, it weighs less than it ought to. You're cheating people. And that sort of thing also is applicable when it comes to the Word of God. And the King James Bible in English, we're just talking about the English-speaking people of the world right now, is the only modern translation from that which our fathers used. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Well, throughout Christian history, there's been one book in many languages. And that changed at some point. And if you have the little handout, and if you're online, you got your computer there, you can go real quick to bbfohio.com and under resources and charts, you'll find this chart. It's called the Two Streams of Bible. Those of you on MeWe, I posted it in our group. You can just click on that real quick. And as you look there at your chart, and I didn't credit anybody with this because I used about a half a dozen different charts and then my own study and came up with some of this other stuff. You'll find similar charts, though, created by other people. And you look back there at the very beginning, in the middle line there, 33 to 65 A.D., and that's when the book of Acts took place. And up to, you see, 105 A.D., up through that time, the New Testament books were being written. And those are the 27 books we have in our New Testament. Now, I'm not going to get into this tonight, but I am going to get into it. Brian and a couple of you have asked me recently about the question of the canon. And I'll just tell you this. The 27 books you have in your New Testament were received by the church. And it didn't have anything to do with 300 years later, the Council of Nicaea with Constantine. What they did then was vote to confirm what had already taken place. The previous couple hundred years, two or three centuries really, Christians had received the books written by known authors, most of which came from Paul, most of the books. But they knew John the Beloved and knew that he wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. They knew James. They knew Jude. They knew Peter. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the book of Acts written by Luke. These were, they knew the men. They knew who wrote them. And then they tested the Bible that they had, was the Old Testament, and they tested the new letters by the old. That's what, when you read in Acts 17:11, the Bereans were testing the teachings of the Apostle Paul. They were using the Old Testament to do it. And so these became accepted, and they also, there's other things like the effect that those letters had, and the fact that they all interconnected and were complementary to each other and so forth. They didn't contradict one another. There are other books. They were written by people who lied about who they are. They claimed to be Pontius Pilate, Peter, and Thomas, and they weren't, and everybody knew it. So those are out. They had other books that, along with these, that contained error. They contained known inaccuracies. And they contradicted the rest of the New Testament, so they threw them out. And then there were other reasons why they threw some of them out. But there were reasons why you only ended up with 27 books in your New Testament. Now, those books, as originally written, were copied by the early churches. And that ministry of sending out Bible books and eventually the whole New Testament together was based in a place called Antioch in Syria. So you look at the top part of that chart, you'll see the pure Antiochian stream. That's from Antioch. And you'll see off the little lines off there telling you that somewhere in the second century, the Old Syriac and Old Latin Bibles were translated from the correct texts. Then later came the Old Gothic, the Armenian, Ethiopic, Georgian, Slavonic, Bohemian, Slavonic, all down, all the way up to the year 1000. And we have copies of those old Bibles, and they match one another, and they match what you have in your King James Bible, and they match the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament and the received Greek New Testament text. So what you have is up to the year 1000, Christians are all using the same Bible. Hebrew Old Testament, called the Masoretic Text. The Greek Byzantine text type that later became called the Received Text. Greek or Textus Receptus is the Latin term that means received text. All the Bibles, no matter what language. Then along comes Luther. And he uses the Erasmus Greek New Testament, which, again, is that same text. But Erasmus took different manuscripts and came up with a uniform representative text. And then after that, a fellow named Stevens in 1550 came up with the text that the King James translators actually used. But it was based on Erasmus. And so all the way up through 1611... Now, prior to 1611, if you look up in the right corner of your chart, it says Pure English Bibles. Those Bibles are all the same as your King James, with only slight variations due to the changes in language, changes in spelling, changes in the fonts. Go get an original Tyndale and Bible, and you won't be able to read it. The language, the fonts, the spelling. You remember, some of you seen the copies of the Declaration of Independence where the F's and S's look the same? That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. But as far as the words and the actual content of those Bibles, what happened was there was a purifying going on in the English language. Before Tyndale, you had Wycliffe. But Wycliffe was not a great Bible for long-term use because it came from the Latin Vulgate and it had corruptions. But it was better than what the Pope wanted them to have, which was nothing. At that time, the Pope was killing people and putting their Bibles and hanging their Bibles around their neck when he burned them alive in the Inquisition. But Tyndale came up with the Bible from the original languages, the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek Received text. Then Matthews came along and made improvements. Coverdale came along, made improvements. The Great Bible. The Geneva Bible was a very good Bible, but the reason why they wanted a new Bible after the Geneva Bible is because the Puritans filled it with Augustine and Calvin. And all the footnotes and everything pushed that predestinarian doctrine. And the non-predestinarian said, we don't want a Bible with man's notes and words. We want a Bible with just God's Word. And so the Bishop's Bible came out, but it was a limited work. And so all the groups came together. You can read about this. We have Lawrence Vance has a book on the production of the King James Bible. Sam Gibbs a book, The Understandable History of the Bible. Those are all good books for you to read on this subject. But the bottom line is, in 1611, King James decided, we're going to have a Bible. And we're going to make this Bible one that everybody can use, and they can freely print, and they'll just, under pain of death, if you mess with it. Amen. Would be that we had that kind of law on the Bible now. We wouldn't have 200 garbage translations out there just to make money, but that's what we end up with. Well, not if it was under pain of death. But after 1611, I put 1776 in there just to give you a little bit of an idea of the time scale. And then comes 1881. So from the beginning of that chart all the way to 1881, all Christians used the same Bible. And when 1881 comes around, Westcott and Hort, Bishop Westcott, Fenton, John Anthony Hort, were Anglican scholars. They weren't Bible believers. They weren't real preachers or anything. They were scholars in the sense used by the world. They lied.
Amen.
The English crown established a revision committee of 1880. And Westcott and Hort agreed to only update the King James Bible on certain little things like spelling and grammar and mostly cosmetic. It was supposed to be based on the Hebrew Masoretic text and received Greek text if there were any changes to be made. They said they were going to do that. And folks, I'm not giving you my opinion. This is a historic fact. They lied.
Amen.
And they went in there with a Bible called the Codex Vaticanus. You hear the word Vatican in there?
Yes.
The word Vatican, Vaticanus, yes, that's where that thing came from. That text was known and rejected by Bible believers up until that point. Erasmus knew about it and rejected it. Luther knew about it and didn't want to deal with it. And so here in 1881, Westcott and Hort in the revision committee in England lied and brought in this Codex Vaticanus text, and the rest is history. Ever since then, they've been trying to push this down everybody's throat. They tried in 1901, they came out with the American Standard Version. It was largely rejected. 1954, the Revised Standard Version was put out by the Communist Council of Churches, and it was rejected. They even changed the virgin birth text in Isaiah 7:14. But then in the 60s, when we got enough hippies in the pulpits, enough, you know, dope heads, that they began to then push that new text in the pulpit, in the pews, and out came the NIV, and then came the New American Standard, and the New King James Version, and fast forward to today, you got the ESV and all that. All of them come from the Codex Vaticanus. It's a corrupt text that they edited, they filled in the blanks because it was full of gaps, and they put it out as the Nestle-Allen text, and then later as the, well, first it was the Westcott-Hort text. Then it came out as Nestle-Allen, and then Metzger and others edited it and brought it out in the United Bible Societies. When you think of United Bible Societies, think of United Nations. Yeah. Same spirit behind it.
Yeah.
And the Pope decided he liked that Bible, and so since then the Catholics and the Protestants have been working together to put out all these Bibles. And one thing they all have in common is that they are copyrighted and you have to pay if you want to print them.
Yep.
Every single one of them. So that's as much time as I can spend. I spent way more time than I probably should have. But look over to Revelation 22 with that in everything in mind I just mentioned. Revelation 22, verses 18 to 20. If you want some motivation not to mess with God's book, Revelation 18, or 22, I'm sorry. Revelation 22, beginning verse 18. Read that with me. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. So all the new versions violate Proverbs 22:28. Removing the old landmark set by our fathers. Not to mention they claim the copyright ownership of God's Word. Imagine that. And having the right Bible is one thing. Learning it and knowing it is another. Amen?
Amen.
So we do spend a little time making sure people are aware of the facts behind the right Bible. But it does you no good if you don't learn it and know it.
Present to you my all-time favorite Bible verses that are not in the Bible. God works in mysterious ways. He does. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Yes. It's nice to be important, but more important to be nice. Smile. If you take one step, God will take two. Does that make sense? If he closes one door, he'll open a window. Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. If there's hair in your ears, then there's sin in your heart. Do your best, and God, he'll do the rest. 10 points to Gryffindor.
Oh, that is hilarious. See, you get in trouble. People will quote that and say, well, you know, the Bible says. And that's what happens when you don't actually read your Bible, study your Bible. And, you know, Bible memorization is a great habit. And as you get older, it gets harder. So you youngins, use those brain cells, use that gray matter now. And it'll get stuck up there because as you get older, it gets harder. Am I alone in that? The old people? Amen. Psalm 119:11, that's what I believe it's telling us. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Memorize the Bible. Put it in your heart. Some people use index cards and go over them every day and that sort of thing. Whatever works for you. Of course, the world's fastest Bible memory plan has a guaranteed 100% success. You can memorize 17 Bible verses and we'll do it in less than 2 minutes. But you have to use an NIV. You see, you look up these verses, and we'll use Matthew 17:21, for example. This is an illustration. The King James Bible says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. That's pretty easy memory verse, right?
Yeah.
Well, the NIV makes it even easier. They just take it out. It's not there.
There we go, memorized.
And in the footnote it says, some manuscripts include here words similar to Mark 9:29. How about every Bible before 1881 includes that verse?
Wow.
Amen.
That's the truth. And all those verses, this is the ESV, they do the same thing. It's just not there. You're just supposed to not notice that it goes from verse 20 to 22.
Do they keep the same number?
Yeah. They just skip it. It's not there. And again, some manuscripts insert verse 21. And they give you the verse and the footnote. And again, how about every Bible before 1881 has that verse in it?
That's what they should say.
Yeah. That's what, if they were honest, that's what they would say. So you can find various lists of these deleted scriptures. New Age versions, we have a copy of it. A lot of people really lose their mind over Gail Riplinger, so that's why I try to at least mention her 2 or 3 times a year. And in her book, she gives charts where you can just, she gives you the verses so you can look at them. And in the new NASB and the NIV, for example, Mark 10:24 says, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." The King James says, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." The New American Standard NIV is a flat out lie. God didn't make it hard for you to enter into the kingdom of God. He did all the work. All you got to do is repent and believe the gospel. It's a lie. Those new versions are full of lies. They not only change the text, but they're lying to you. By standing firm, you will save yourself. Luke 21:29. What's the King James say? In your patience, possess ye your souls.
Wow. Okay.
They changed that to say, by standing firm, you will save yourself. And on and on. I got that chart that she got. She has several charts in her book that we have in our. And he's got a list of the eye opener that we have copies of over here.
Yeah.
And then online is another version of a. Look at all that. All those verses are in the King James, and then but the rest of NIV, New American Standard, New Century, New Revised Standard, Revised Standard, removed. They just cut those verses out of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? They obviously just don't believe it.
They probably cut it
out. I mean, you know, you think about a lot of these guys in these seminary stuff, they're agnostics. You know, so they don't believe they're going to face God. I asked Jenny for some help here, and she mentioned Matthew 4:4. But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," including those verses being ripped out of your new versions.
Unless we don't like.
That's their attitude. And again, in addition to memorizing, reading through the Bible should be a yearly practice.
Amen.
We've got our charts printed up, available online, bbfy.com, resources, PDF downloads, and look for the BBF reading plan. Sister Katie's made you some bookmarkers with candy canes.
Make sure you get one.
And if you haven't got one, make sure you get one. And she told us to tell onliners that she could make one for you online. They're laminated, real nice. So let's close our year of Bible study with readings. And we're just going to pick 7 of you to read, so don't get your feelings hurt if we run out of readers. But Charlie, if you read Psalm 12:6-7. Olivia, Psalm 119:140-142. I should have just had her read the whole chapter. Jenny Miller, Proverbs 30:5-6. Johnny, Hebrews 4:11-13. Jessica, 2 Thessalonians 3:1-3. Mary, 2 Timothy 3:14-17. And Brian, 1 Peter 1:23-25. Yeah, there's not 35 verses in there. And Jenny Allbaugh's on the ball. She's got them ready to go. So Charlie, go ahead and read Psalm 12:6-7.
The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
Amen. All right, Olivia, Psalm 119:140-142.
Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
Very good.
Woo-hoo! You are kind, capable, and strong.
All right, Jenny Miller, Proverbs 35 and 6.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
There's another one the New Version fellers don't believe or didn't know about. All right, Johnny.
Yuck.
This is a little gift from the All Boss. It's a little button that you can push and be positive affirmation.
The world is full of beautiful things that work.
It's a little fuzzy coming over the microphone there. But Johnny, Hebrews 4, 11 through 13.
Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
A lot about that we could say, but for time's sake. Jessica, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1-3.
Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil.
Amen. All right, Mary, 2 Timothy 3, 14-17.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works.
Amen. All right, one last, Brian. 1 Peter 1, 23-25. By the way, some of the King James Bibles have been tampered with, and they'll say thoroughly instead of throughly.
Yeah.
That's a little red flag for you. But go ahead, Brian. 1 Peter 1, 23-25.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away.
Amen. Is that 25?
It says 35.
I know. Is it 25? Did you read?
23 through
25?
Yeah. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
There you go. Amen. All right. And, yes, Mary?
Is it supposed to just be to 25?
Yeah. Romans 10:17 sums it up. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right. Musicians, come forward, and let's sing page 177 in our hymn books. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. 177. So, just to close this study up, and the reason behind it is, number one, this kind of study to confirm and to also, we can't ever take for granted everybody knows all these things we're talking about. We do have a very extensive library and book and video that can teach you all that you need to know about this stuff. But we're going to teach you from the pulpit periodically.
Amen.
But there's churches that take a good, strong stand on the King James Bible, but they just never teach it. Then there's other churches that do teach the Bible, but then they leave you hanging on your authority.
Yeah.
What's the real Bible? And so we endeavor to not leave either stone unturned. We're going to lay out the truth about what Bible you can use and trust and believe.
See, some churches say, we use only the King James Version. Well, that doesn't mean anything if you don't believe it. We use the King James Bible because we believe it. And then we also want to teach it. We want you to learn it. We want to help you in any way possible. And so let's sing about it. Stand if you can. Page 177, Thy Word Have I Hid in My Heart.
Thy Word is a lamp to my feet,
a light to my path always,
to guide and to save me from sin, and show me the heavenly way. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Send your prayer request to BBF Ohio at protonmail.com. If you're watching online, the rest of you raise your hand. Jane will collect those cards. As we say goodbye, we want to say Happy New Year on three. One, two, three.
Happy New Year!
And God bless y'all.
Happy Baptist.
Yes, we.
Well, we need like people.
Lord, come
that.
Quickly.
Amen. See you guys. Go get some tea.